Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. October is upon us. We've got a lot of events coming up in the franchise world. And, of course, Franchise Today is one of your weekly events. And as a major company, credit card company claims membership has its privileges. And we'll be talking today with Paul Rocchio of the IFA Association. But before we do so, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Stan Friedman.
Hey, Paul, great to be with you again, and good afternoon. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are and when it is you're dialing into Franchise Today.
You know, that's interesting to say it that way, Stan, because we are on the cusp of afternoon in the Eastern Zone, morning here in Central and Pacific Time, and on-demand listens, as you said, whenever you would listen to this show, is really something that I want to mention because we are rapidly closing in on, get this, everybody sit down, 170,000 on-demand listens since the start of Franchise Today. Just an astounding number considering this is entirely focused on the franchise community, and what a great community it is, Stan.
Absolutely, Paul, and couldn't be happier to be a part of that and to take that number north as we continue to try to forge ahead into the coming year, into 16, with a great roster of professionals in the world of franchising that can carve out a little bit of time each week to share some of their nuggets with the audience and build this body of information that we continue to put out there for the best practices of any and all to benefit from what they learn and listen to and hear here.
Yep, and we like to consider Franchise Today one of the best places for everything about franchising, and talking about best places, Stan, why don't you lead into this week's front of the house?
Well, there's a lot to talk about every week, Paul, but a couple of things really caught my eye this week that I thought were interesting, and that is there were three franchisors listed in the 100 best workplaces for women. Three famous franchising firms placed in the top 100 best workplaces for women. They were Hyatt Hotels, they were followed by Chili's Grill and Bar, and Marriott. And the ranking was created by San Francisco-based consulting and training firm Great Places to Work. And they based this on a survey of over 136,000 women from 600-plus firms. And this inaugural list honored the top 100 companies that are recognized by female employees as organizations where women can thrive. Here are the Great Place to Work rankings of the three famous franchisors that were among the top 100. Hyatt overall came in number 38 in the top 100, Chili's behind them at number 44, and then Marriott at number 81. And among some of the things, Paul, that employees said stood out that was of great pride to them was that at Hyatt, along with the fact that their employees provide healthy breakfast, lunch, and dinner options to colleagues for little or no cost, they also like that they can have up to 12 complimentary hotel stays in any given year. Not a bad thing to have. That's quite a perk when you stop and think about it.
Definitely is a nice perk, without a doubt.
So, two hotel chains on the list. Marriott is actually my personal favorite, but maybe the difference between being 38th and 81st, which is where Marriott came in, is the fact that it's Hyatt giving away those dozen free nights. I don't know.
Very nice.
So you had something you wanted to throw in here before I take you to my next front of the house.
Yeah, it was a really neat article yesterday in Franchise Times Online. It'd be in the October issue, obviously, of Franchise Times, about Catherine Monson. And Catherine, we're hoping to be a guest on our show in November. And it was an article that said these execs have the cure for sitting disease, and it's by Nancy Weingartner, obviously a past guest of the show as well. And it says Catherine Monson is a stand-up franchise executive. The Fast Sign CEO has taken the standing desk one step further and included a treadmill. The only downside, Monson says, she's found so far is to sit never sitting at her desk is the change in her footwear, which are now flat. I know this disappoints friends, and I think in parentheses we should say Shelley's son, another guest coming up on the show, who likes amazing high heels. Shelley has some of the best high heels in all of franchising. And she adds that she's had all her pantsuits hemmed for flat shoes, but she does have heels at the ready. Really an interesting article, and as more and more people in franchising are really focusing on their health, me included, it's always great to see these type of stories in franchising, especially where there's so much seriousness in the industry today. So I did want to add that in, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to piggyback Best Workplaces for Women.
Well, I think that was very apropos. Hey, something else caught my eye for the front of the house this week, just scanning some of the headlines that are out there. The dateline was Auburn, Alabama, and it was about a new, relatively new fast casual restaurant concept that's franchising regionally, and many in our audience may not yet have heard of them, but I'm going to call out Chicken Salad Chick, which is the nation's only Southern-inspired fast casual chicken salad restaurant concept. They, the press release was about their opening their first location in North Carolina. But, you know, the thing about Chicken Salad Chick that has had me wanting to follow them is how much they remind me of my past life at Wing Zone back in the day, because Chicken Salad Chick, like Wing Zone, was founded in a non-commercial kitchen. At Wing Zone, it was the frat house kitchen where Matt and Adam began the concept. Chicken Salad Chick was born out of the founder's kitchen in Alabama way back when. She found out that the local health department didn't really abide by that and didn't think that that was a very good idea. So she overcame that obstacle by launching her first restaurant, which became the foundation for franchising. The thing about Chicken Salad Chick that has me keeping an eye on their growth and where they go is earlier this year, a private equity firm here in Atlanta, Eagle Merchant Partners, invested in Chicken Salad Chick and seated a name we both know from days gone by, Russ Umpenauer as chairman of the board and Scott Deviney as president and CEO. We all know Russ from his days as CEO of Focus Brands and RTM before that. And Mr. Deviney is the former CEO of SDZ, which is probably a company that none of us have ever heard of. But SDZ is another Atlanta-based company and a fairly large and significant multi-unit Wendy's franchisee. If you take his experience from multi-unit franchising at Wendy's and couple it with his experience as a vice president for SunTrust Bank, specializing in the restaurant industry, stir all that up with Russ Umpenauer's experience at Focus and RTM, and I'd say that Chicken Salad Chick is probably, with 30 or 40 regional locations today, a brand to keep an eye on as they march forward and very quickly become a national player on the landscape.
I couldn't agree more. And Stan, can you say Chicken Salad Chick three times real fast?
No, but I can chew on it all day long.
So what do we have for item 19 today?
Well, taking a look at some of the news on the financial side of life, Paul, something that caught my eye this week, which I thought was pretty timely, was a story about breakfast orders growing with expansion of restaurant breakfast. And so this was a Dateline out of Chicago, and it was talking about case shipments of bacon, eggs, and pancakes from broadline distributors to food service outlets have increased as servings of these foods have at restaurants and other food service outlets have escalated over the course of the last year. In fact, breakfast meal visits grew by 5% in the year ending June 2015 over the same period last year, when visits grew by 2%. And this information is reported by NPD's Crest Ongoing Food Service Market Research. Quick service restaurants were being tagged as responsible for most of the visit gains at breakfast. Well, you know, why did that catch my eye this week of all weeks? Could have something to do with Golden Arches? Could it have something to do with McDonald's? You know, finally, after years and years, deciding to make breakfast an all-day affair. What do you think?
Well, you know, first of all, the breakfast segment, you know, certainly is growing. But, you know, McDonald's, I mean, again, I think they're falling a little short, causing a little controversy. We're drawing a line down the middle of the country and dividing it between English muffins and biscuits, Stan.
You're letting the cat out of the bag, Paul. So five things that we should need to know about all-day breakfast at McDonald's, because it isn't really all-day breakfast for all of us that may have certain favorites that aren't going to be available all day long all over the country. And to your point, the biggest controversy over McDonald's all-day breakfast decision is the sharp decision of North and South. So maybe the Mason-Dixon line should be renamed the Biscuit McMuffin line, because it was decided that Southern tastes prefer biscuits over McMuffins. And because it was too difficult for McDonald's restaurants to serve both all day long, they had to make some decisions, and they did those based on locations. So McMuffins rule in most of the country. But, you know, the Southeast biscuit belt stretches from Appalachia to Louisiana, east through Georgia and Florida, and that has been declared biscuit country as compared to McMuffin country. So, yeah, it's a start, and breakfast all day long is something many, including yours truly, have craved for an awfully long time. But this Southern transplant is still Northern by birth, and will never substitute a McBiscuit for an Egg McMuffin, period.
Yeah, well, I was thinking maybe breakfast at Katz's Deli is more my notion right now. But, you know, talking about that, and as we know, there are, you know, different type of breakfast concepts. And one that came on my radar this week that you'll find very interesting, Stan, is one with a Cajun flair called Brick and Spoon out of Lafayette, Louisiana, with several locations throughout the South. And their forte, in addition to being Cajun food, is a extensive Bloody Mary menu. So now, wow, not only breakfast, but going over into the alcohol stage. And I see some big things continuing to grow in this breakfast segment, and as well as, you know, for Brick and Spoon in particular.
Sounds very interesting. Sounds like my kind of place. I'll be looking them up as soon as I can find one close to home. No doubt.
Yep.
Hey, last item, Paul, before we invite our other Paul to step up to the mic. For the front of the house, just in the item 20 department, as we talk about jobs and people and comings and goings, I took note that franchising added a whopping 33,000 jobs in the month of September. So hires by U.S. franchises increased by a supersized 33,000 jobs during the month of September, according to ADP's National Franchise Report. Franchised restaurants, no surprise, made up roughly three-quarters of all the franchise jobs, hiring about 25,200 of those 33,000, and that was followed by auto dealers. Franchise employment growth rebounded in September, exceeding August by 50%. The big story was restaurants, obviously, but the thing that caught my eye was that when you look at franchise job growth, it was 0.4% up from August overall as compared with small business jobs, non-franchised, which increased by only 0.1%. I think on balance, when we look at that, we can say that the high contribution that franchising makes toward job growth in America on one hand just speaks to the validity of our business model, but on the other hand, it becomes the net, I guess, that catches so much of the attention of economists, regulators, lawmakers, and anyone else from the public sector side of life and from the service unions and employee service union side of life that just can't wait to figure out another way to make a mess out of something great and terrific. So the good news, bad news is we're growing jobs, but there are those out there that are trying any way they can to make something other than good news out of that.
Yep, absolutely. And as I said to open the show, as a major credit card company claims, membership has its privileges. And the same should be said about membership in the International Franchise Association, especially at a time when franchising continues to be under attack at the local, state, and federal levels like never before, Stan. And this week on Franchise Today, we're joined by Paul Rocchio, the Senior Director of Franchise Development and Member Services. I don't always want to say franchise development when I see development. Development and Member Services at the IFA. And hopefully Paul will be able to share some of his insight on why it's more important than ever before to be an active member of the IFA. And, of course, we'll talk about some of the recent leadership changes and what members can expect in 2016. Paul, welcome to Franchise Today.
Well, thanks so much, Paul and Stan. Really appreciate it, and I'm honored to finally join you here on Franchise Today. Can't thank you enough.
Well, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of what I could only imagine would be an extremely busy schedule at the International, you know, Franchise Association. You know, looking at your bio, you joined the IFA in March of 99. God, it seems much longer than that. As manager of grassroots and political education, you moved up through the ranks to your current position of Senior Director of Development and Member Services. And, of course, we all know and love you in the franchise world because you're our focal point. You're our go-to guy for everything membership, and certainly want to thank you for all that you do for all of us as members of the IFA. You know, Stan, we talked last week about the leadership changes at the IFA, and I know you've had some communications with Robert Busanti. Talk a little bit about what actually is going on at the IFA and what we can expect. But, you know, I want to turn, to Paul and ask him a question. You know, tell us why or why is it so important right now that IFA members become even more active than ever before, and why other franchisors become IFA members?
That's Paul, that's an excellent question. And you had alluded to it earlier. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like the sky is falling, but, you know, in the 16-plus years that I've been involved in this association, and I'm an association guy, but I've been hanging my hat here at IFA for 16 years, so I like to think I've learned a little bit about franchising. But, you know, in my tenure, you know, from a political standpoint, and as, you know, as most of you know in the franchising community and for those who are involved in IFA, we promote, protect, and enhance franchising globally. And one of the main things we do for our members is we protect them. So we are the lobbying arm for the franchise industry. And currently, right now, it's really the National Labor Relations Board ruling, and that ruling is, you know, basically, as most of us probably know, that is, you know, it's taking the franchisor and the franchisee, and it's basically stating that there is a nexus between the two, and that the franchisor is actually a joint employer with the franchisee, and we all know that is just not true. The franchisees are responsible for hiring their staff, for working with their staff, for making sure their staff are doing what they need to be doing to get the job done. And the franchisor, as we all know, has no control over those employees of the franchisee. Now, of course, this ruling changes everything. It's a total game changer within franchising. And, you know, right now, and to get to your point about being active, I mean, we just had, you know, close to 400 business owners up on Capitol Hill last week, franchisors, franchisees, and supplier members of IFA. And we had probably close to around 300 meetings with members of Congress. And we were up there telling them and educating them on, you know, trying to get their support for actually a bill that's going to derail the NLRB ruling. It's House Rule 3459, and then the Senate version is 2015, and it's the Bill Protecting Local Business Opportunities Act. And we are asking everybody to reach out to their legislators to make sure that they sign on to either the House bill or the Senate bill. So that's the main thing I want to get across to everybody today. If you're involved in franchising in any way, shape, or form, the only thing, whether you're an IFA member or not, reach out to your senator, reach out to your member of Congress, and tell them to support and sign on to. On the House side, again, it's 3459. On the Senate side, it's 2015. It's Protecting Local Business Opportunities Act. We need as much support on we need as many members of Congress, bipartisan. We're trying to get as much bipartisan support as possible, and hopefully this will derail the NLRB ruling.
So, Paul, where can those who are hearing the obvious passion in your voice, but in the seconds and minutes that we've got here, it's pretty difficult for somebody to really get their head around all of this. And while many of us live it and breathe it on a daily basis, a great many people that are busy, heads down in their businesses every day, might not be following as closely some of the implications and some of the issues between NLRB and the SEIU and the IFA. How can you direct those who want to learn more and to take this in a measured pace, in a measured way, and really digest it? Where can they go and find more easily accessed and plain everyday English reading about the impact and the threat that is upon anyone in the franchising business who isn't taking this more seriously or seriously enough? How do they learn more?
That's an excellent question. They could always go to IFA's website, franchise.org. They could also look into, you know, joining our coalition. We are the founding member of the Coalition to Save Local Business. We also have our kind of the next evolution of our grassroots program, which is called our Franchise Action Network. And we encourage people to join the FAN. It's, like I said, it's kind of the next evolution of our grassroots program. And I was hired on here, you know, 16 years ago to kind of start our grassroots program and to create our, at the time we called it Franchise Appreciation Day, and it's evolved over the years to what we had last week, which was our Franchise Action Network annual meeting. And so I encourage people to go to the IFA website, look at the Coalition to Save Local Business, and also look at Franchise Action Network. And these are ways that you could, as a franchisor or franchisee or somebody who derives a lot of business from the franchise industry, how you could help support and help protect your interest in franchising.
Well, you know, Paul, of course, you know, the sky is not falling. And
yes,
franchising is a very formidable business model. And there's a lot of people, you know, that have very successful independent businesses that are looking at franchising as an expansion and growth model. To those type of individuals, and maybe even some of the franchisors that have yet to join the IFA, if you could, you know, go over some of the high points of what membership brings to these, especially these young brands, and why really membership has its privileges.
Oh, sure. That's excellent. I'd be happy to. And again, thanks for the opportunity. Again, one of the things we do here at IFA is we promote, protect, and enhance franchising globally. So obviously on the protection side, we lobby at the federal, state, and regulatory level. And then the promotion side, we only promote those folks that are members of IFA. So if you go to franchise.org or if you pick up the Franchise Opportunities Guide, which is, you know, we still print the guide. Our members see a lot of value in it. We distribute it at franchise expos around the country. We sell it at bookstores, assuming there's still bookstores around. Our members are expected to abide by and adhere to the IFA Code of Ethics. So I like to think our, you know, even though we're a voluntary membership organization, I mean, if you're a franchisor, you don't have to be a member of IFA, but I like to think that our members are really the cream of the crop of franchising. So, you know, by joining IFA and by abiding by and adhering to the IFA Code of Ethics and by continually through IFA learning best practices, I like to think our members are always driving their franchise ship in the right direction. So that's, you know, that to me is one of the best selling points that for any franchisor who joins IFA, whether they're dealing with potential franchise leads, that they could tell those folks that that they belong to the association that oversees franchising, and that they are continually learning through IFA how to be the best franchisor they can be, or even when they're dealing with with existing franchisees. The fact that they are a member of the association is just a good selling point for for their entire franchise family. And then, of course, like anything, we enhance our members through ongoing education, whether it's our Certified Franchise Executive Program, which I would highly encourage anybody and everybody involved in franchising to get their CFE designation. I mean, Paul and Stan, I both know you are both CFEs. I actually ended up, even though I'm an association guy, I ended up getting my CFE a few years ago. And it's just it's kind of like a ongoing education or a master's degree in franchising. And again, you could find information on the CFE program on our website, franchise.org. But and then also through all of our ongoing events we have. We have our upcoming events, our FranTech conference coming up in Dallas, October 26th through the 28th. And there's also the West Coast Franchise Expo coming up in Anaheim, California, November 12th through the 14th. And for those folks who are IFA members, you do get a 7% discount to exhibit at any of the franchise expos that we sponsor, and they're all produced by MFE Expositions. And this is a great opportunity for folks to, if you're looking for new franchisees and you're looking to expand in the western states or even in, central or even South America to a certain extent, I would highly encourage that you look into exhibiting at the West Coast Franchise Expo. And then for emerging brands, we have our Emerging Franchisor Conference coming up in Miami, November 18th through the 19th. And this is, an event really specifically designed for emerging brands, anyone who has really up to 300 units. So I think, anybody who's really coming right out of the gate or even if they think they might be kind of mature, well-established, but at least up to 300 brands, you're still going to get a lot out of attending that conference. And then, of course, I'm biased, being an employee here at IFA, but our annual convention, it's always in February. We'll actually be, in your state, Paul, we'll be in San Antonio February 20th through the 23rd. And the IFA's annual convention is really the 10,000-pound gorilla. I see it as really, one of the best franchising events anybody could attend throughout the year. And it's really just, packed with a lot of ongoing educational seminars and sessions on every aspect of franchising, a number of roundtables, and most importantly, it's just the networking that you all will have with your peers in the franchising community. I can't stress enough, and from my vantage point, having just watching people coming up the ladder behind them, people in franchising love to give back to the people coming up the ladder behind them, because there's over 100 different industries that franchise. So there's yes, there's competitors within various verticals within franchising, but there's also so many different businesses, and regardless of whether or not you're flipping hamburgers or trying to fill hotel beds or switching out mufflers, franchising is franchising. It's all the same, and you're all kind of dealing with the same issues. Yeah, you might be a little different in certain aspect of things, but when it comes to franchise relationship issues, when it comes to development issues, you're going to be able to learn from the people who basically came up the ladder before you. And that's why I think I've stuck around here so long, because it's just fun working with and spending time with all of you wonderful entrepreneurs, and just watching you grow and then watching you give back to the people kind of you know, coming up the ladder behind you. So, you know, it's just that's why I'm here, I guess.
Hey, Paul, I just want to make a couple of quick comments. Firstly, FRM proud to sponsor Frantech West Coast Franchise Expo. Any emerging franchisor will be involved in all three of those, and obviously exhibiting at the IFA convention as well. But observation, Paul, I've heard you twice now in the space of this broadcast, in the space of this podcast, make reference to yourself as an association guy. But I want to expand on that a little bit, and I want to ask just a simple question, and then I'm going to tell you why I'm asking. How many franchises, Paul, have you personally awarded in your career?
In terms of, you mean new members coming on board here at IFA?
No. How many times have you ever awarded a franchise? Have you ever worked for a franchisor and awarded a franchise to anyone?
I have not, though when I was in high school, I will admit I did, as I like to refer to it, I pumped ice cream at Carvel, and I would like to say I was really darn good at making cake.
All right.
Too.
Let me tell you where I'm going with why I asked that question.
Please, because, or maybe I'm afraid.
No, you shouldn't be afraid at all. In fact, I would suggest that you're understating the power that you bring to this association and its membership, Paul, because in my view, what you do for IFA is exactly what any franchise development person does for his brand or her brand. You're the ambassador. If you really stop and think about what IFA represents to franchise membership, suppliers, franchisees, and franchisors, I look at IFA like a franchise itself. And
exactly.
IFA is like the mothership. So like a franchisee in any concept looks to the franchisor to be the steward of the resources and to deliver the value proposition that they hitched their wagons to that engine to become affiliated with. Aren't we all that in IFA? And aren't you the leading ambassador for bringing membership into IFA? And so it wasn't a trick question. I look at you as a lot more than an association guy, actually. I look at you as the guy who helps people understand the value proposition of this organization. And it is the franchisor to all of us that look to the mothership to give us the economies of scale and the value that we get from each other that you can only get in one place, and that's here. And so, Mr. Association Guy, while you are that, you are a lot more, in my view.
Well, thank you. And it's funny because I always, and when I'm educating potential supplier members about franchising, especially those who are kind of active in the association space, I educate them by saying, you know, the association space is very, very similar to the franchise space. You've got the association, IFA, and then all of its members. They're just like franchisees, just like you have the franchisor and all of their franchisees out and about around the country or around the world. So, Stan, you're dead on right there. It's the model is very, very similar. So,
yep.
And again, you know, I'm honored and thank you. That's very, very kind words, my friend.
So we are live on Franchise Today. Our guest is Paul Rocchio of the International Franchise Association. Of course, Franchise Today is sponsored by FRM Solutions and the folks at Franchise Foundry. Just so happens to be Stan's company and my company, respectively. But those are the membership privileges that we have in our labor of love in talking about everything about sensible and sustainable franchising. You know, Paul, last week Stan announced live from Washington the new leadership at the International Franchise Association. And again, we extend our congratulations to Mr. Crisanti. I think will be a tremendous leader. But on the ground, inside, in the know, give us a little bit of insight as to what we could expect from Mr. Crisanti and this leadership change moving forward.
Well, you know, in my tenure, this is my, Robert is my fourth CEO since I've been here at IFA. For those of you who've been around for a while, when I started, you know, Don DeBolt was our CEO and president, and I was actually hired originally by Matt Shea, who at the time was the VP of Government Relations, and then as most of you all know, Matt kind of took over the reins here from Don, and Matt has moved on and now heads up the shop over at the National Retail Federation. And then, of course, we had Steve Caldera on board here for the past about 6 years. And I'll tell you, Robert, I'm very excited to work to work under Robert. In the past year or so that I've known Robert, he's been overseeing everything on the government relations side here at IFA. And, you know, getting back to what we kind of said earlier and what you've all mentioned too, I mean, yes, the sky is not falling. Franchising is still a very dynamic part and engine in the economy here in the U.S. and around the world. But, you know, there are, like any industry, you know, there are issues we're dealing with. And Robert is the right person at this time to kind of help us get through and this challenging time for us with a number of regulatory and legislative issues. You know, though there is a franchise relationship bill that was introduced by Representative Ellison, a Democrat from Minnesota, and that's another issue that we're dealing with. There's a number of franchise relationship bills that have been introduced at the state side. And also some minimum wage bills that we're, you know, that our members want us to kind of work on and fight on their behalf. And you know, I just like Robert's style. He's you know, level-headed and he's extremely smart. And I'm just really looking forward to continuing to work with him, and especially at you know, in his new role. I think everybody here in the office, and I think I could speak for everyone, everybody's just you know, excited. I mean, you know, change is always, it's always hard to deal with change, but you know, change is always a good thing too. And I really think everybody's kind of excited, and we're just kind of doing what we always do here. We just kind of keep moving in the right direction, and we all enjoy supporting our members. Because, again, a lot of people have to realize this. I mean, we realize this, I think, internally. We are just the stewards of this organization. IFA belongs to all of its members, and we are just the staff at IFA. We are just the stewards. And I think, you know, with Robert at the helm, I really believe we're going to do a great job helping to move everything forward so everybody could continue to, you know, realize their, you know, their American dream through this wonderful engine called franchising.
Well, you know, Paul, not unlike politics at large, I think that we've seen in recent years a lot of polarity in politics, and sometimes a lot of angst and anger, and sometimes a little bit of bile and vitriol. And a lot of that, I think, has had many filled with rancor, even within the IFA, where sometimes the messages of what these battles are about get lost to some. All they hear is the constant raised voices, anger, a little bit of hostility. So can you help us understand how some of that might change in 2016 and how this administration's approach to trying to bring a resolution and maybe some more collaboration instead of polarity, or, you know, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the direction that IFA is moving in 2016, and maybe a change of tone or voice, not so much that the battles are any less important, but how we approach them may be a little bit different. And also, can you talk a little bit to some of the work that the IFA's Educational Foundation is doing? And I understand there may be a little bit of rebranding in that side of the IFA's structure as well.
Sure. Well, you know, I will say that, again, you know, we are the stewards of this organization. And really, when it comes to, you know, really the IFA board, really, you know, really directs us in terms of you know, our mission and what they want us to do. So I personally think moving forward for you know, 2016, for example, and even you know, into, you know, you know, 2018 for that matter as well, for the next few years, I think you're just going to see, you know, IFA and the IFA team, we are going to continue to do what we need to do to protect the industry. Like I always say, and, you know, having been a lobbyist in the past, the one thing, you know, we can't do at IFA is sit back on our laurels. Whenever any issue comes up, we have to make sure that that we are, you know, we are doing what we need to do to protect the industry. So, you know, I, you know, like always, I mean, you know, in the government relations world, you know, it's always best to try to work closely with folks on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the issue. And I really think with the, you know, the team that we have in place here at IFA, I really believe that we're in a really good position to hopefully get that message out, that, you know, franchising is a dynamic and important part of the U.S. economy, and it's already, you know, heavily regulated, and it doesn't need to be over-regulated. And I think that's kind of the message that we're going to continue to convey to the decision makers and the leaders across the country. Hope that answers the first part of your question, Stan.
Yes.
And then on the second part of your question, here in IFA, especially in the membership department, you know, Scott Laro, you know, he's our team leader, and, you know, myself and John Fox, you know, one of the things that we always have to do here at IFA, we kind of have to know a little bit about everything that's going on in every single department here at IFA. And I will say that on the educational foundation side of things, you know, as most of you all know, John Reynolds, or as we like to call him, kind of the Oracle. I mean, John has been here for probably close to 30 years, if not longer. And John was always a great mentor, as is and was Scott. And Scott, you know, they both continue to be. But there's, you know, along with some of the things that we're doing with NextGen, and I don't know if you were referring to that, Stan, but NextGen is just, I think NextGen is one of the, you know, one of the most important programs that I've ever seen that we've gotten involved with here at IFA, because it's taking all of these young folks, you know, who are either young entrepreneurs or people who might even be interested in being entrepreneurs and interested in franchising, and just, you know, welcoming them into the franchise family. And it's just, you know, for franchising to continue to be strong and for IFA to continue to be strong, we have to embrace, embrace the next generation coming up behind all of us. And I just, you know, personally, I think that's probably one of the best programs that I've seen come out of, you know, that side of IFA in a long time. You know, I had the opportunity of attending the National Restaurant Association's Pro Start program a few years back. And again, it's, you know, getting young folks involved in the culinary arts or involved in the restaurant business. And I think that is probably one of the best programs I've seen, you know, helping out the next generation. And I see our next gen program is something very similar to that program. So I'm just excited about it. Did that answer your second part there,
yeah,
regarding
it,
our CFE?
I think it does. I think that, you know, the focus that everybody hears about is all about the fight and the battle and the politics. But when you look at all the work done on the educational foundation side of the IFA, work like we've, you know, done for years with diversity, with VetFran, with,
yes,
NextGen,
yes,
with the ICFE, those are the things that people need to be looking more closely at, the value proposition that the IFA and franchising bring to Main Street America, and the opportunity for small and medium-sized entrepreneurs to participate in the American dream and have the resources of the Educational Foundation and the incredible initiatives that come out of the Educational Foundation seem to get overshadowed some by all the noise of the politics of the day.
It is, and you make a really good point there, because there are so many, I mean, there are so many different things that we do here, and of course we always kind of focus internally here about, you know, the government relations side of things, but again, you know, you hit it right on the head. You know, we have our VetFran program, we have our diversity program, and even I know, Stan, you're very involved with PAFI, you know, getting professional athletes involved in franchising. I mean, there's so much, and it's a whole cottage industry that's been built up around franchise. And there's so many opportunities for everybody to be involved in franchising, but also to be involved in IFA and involved in all the programming that we have, and all the various committees that we have, and you know, helping, you know, put together, you know white papers or documents, you know, through our franchise relations committee. You know, that was one of the first committees that I was the staff liaison for, and they continue to develop and put out some really good, really good information. So it's, you know, it's just, you know, again, there's so many different things that I think we provide here at IFA. Though government relations is always, you know, what we hear from our members, that's the most important thing. But, you know, there's so many different things that are very important in my eyes. I think everything we do is important.
Paul, you bring something to this conversation, Paul, that is evident to me, and it has to be equally as evident to anyone who is listening to you on this podcast. The amount of passion that you bring, and to me, passion is right up there with money. Anybody who's going to succeed in franchising, you know, you have to start with capital, and then the next most important thing that you can bring to whatever your concept is your heart, your soul, your belief, your passion, and you are filled with that, Paul. I've got one last question that I'm going to ask you before we throw it back to Paul Segreto, and that is, you know, the 20 or so years or the 15 or so years that you've been involved here is a career path that looks a lot different than the path that you may have pursued coming out of school. So, Paul, if I asked you to surprise our audience with something about your background that nobody would ever have dreamed of, what would that be?
Well, let's just say eons ago in my previous life, I was a surgical assistant at Northern Westchester Hospital in Westchester County, New York. I actually worked in an operating room and held retractors, and let's just say that position doesn't exist anymore. It had nothing to do with me, just kind of the regulations over time. You have to actually be a certified tech or actually an RN, but I actually, used to help surgeons out from general surgery up to orthopedics and across the board. And let's just say it was my boot camp. And but then I got bit by the political bug. And long story short, ended up here in D.C. And here I am, 30-plus years later, working for the franchise industry and loving every minute of it.
Well, you brought us and continue to bring us a tremendous amount of good medicine here, Paul, and I'm personally happy to have you in my life. Mr. Segreto, back to you.
Yeah, it's good to have a doctor in the house, isn't it? Hey, Paul,
gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Really appreciate it, and I'm honored to participate on the show today.
And we really appreciate it, and we certainly appreciate the IFA's involvement of franchise today. We've had many guests on in the past, going all the way back to Matt Shea, and it's hard to believe that this was the first time that we had you on the show, Paul, and so I really appreciate you taking up time and being here today, and we look forward to continue relationship with the IFA and franchise today.
And likewise, and thank you, gentlemen, for all of your support of IFA and for your support of me as well, personally. And, you know, I always like to fly under the radar screen, but I really appreciate being on your show finally. So thank you very much, have a good rest of the day, and I hope the rest of the show goes well as well. I've got to get ready for a Wednesday Wise webinar that's coming up at 2:00 Eastern time today. So, gentlemen, Paul, Stan, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you,
my
Paul.
Pleasure.
You know,
thanks,
Stan,
Paul.
Paul Rocchio had brought up a good point about, you know, talking about the IFA convention coming up in February. And, of course, as we know, it's here in San Antonio, Texas. And just before it is Franchise Expo South, which is in Houston, Texas. So So I'm going to officially dub February as Texas Franchise Month. We've got a lot going on in February. And to that point, as we've done in the past, with past IFA chairman and IFA leadership, I hope we can get Aziz Hashim, who's the incoming IFA chairperson, and Robert Crisanti, the new CEO, on Franchise Today in January, maybe ahead of all these great events in Texas.
I think that's a great plan, Paul, and both eloquent speakers that bring new perspectives and new perceptions on top of those that we've been building on for years. So as is the case with anybody and any self-governing organization, it's always a work in progress. And it's a work in progress, as is this podcast. And so as times and situations move forward, new voices, new perspectives, Aziz coming in as a franchisee, a multi-unit franchisee, a franchisor of late, and now a private equity investor, who could possibly have more perspectives and insights to offer from any point of view than a guy like Aziz does, especially in these times? And who makes a greater statement of commitment to the belief that despite the fact that we are so embattled right now as an industry sector and a way of doing business, you don't see any shortage of commitment on the part of guys like Aziz and other private equity investors and portfolio holders that are continuing to aggressively pursue their engagement and investment and interaction with the franchise business model. So, you know, we've said it earlier in this podcast, the sky is not falling. And there are a great many people that are deeply vested who prove that every day by putting their money where their mouth is.
So I'd like to remind our listeners that Susan Bepp, who's on the NRD Holdings team, that's Aziz's company, will be on Social Geek Radio tonight with Deb Evans and Jack Monson at 7 p.m. Central Time, and she'll be talking about some of the upcoming trends in franchising. And in talking about upcoming events, it looks like our schedule, our roster of guests is shaping up nice through Turkey Day, Stan. Next week we have Rebecca Monet of Zoracle Profiles will be our guest, followed the following week with Mike Rosman, the CEO of BoFly, followed by Ron Feldman, Chief Credit Officer at FranData. And then I've already confirmed Shelley Sun all the way on November 18th, and we're waiting for confirmation from Jennifer Tuchel of Next Gen fame, of course. That'll be an interesting show, and Catherine Monson as well. And we're still confirming for Jennifer and Catherine. So really wrapping up nicely through the end of the year. I think we're already lining up some stuff for January. We'll plug in some guests in December. If any of our listeners have a guest or a topic they'd like to see on Franchise Today, please drop me a line at paul@franchisefoundry.com. Now, Stan, in your hometown, as the upcoming Franchise Update Leadership and Development Conference, tell us some reasons to attend.
Well, there's a host of good reasons to attend that could fill yet another hour, Paul. But if you look at some of the stats on last year's meeting, it really becomes evident to anyone who looks at who's attending this conference in the past that gives the greatest reasons in the world that you should attend it this year and looking forward. Just looking at stats from last year, out of 242 franchisors representing 175 brands last year, 63% of those came from the C-suite. 63%. If you look at 26% of those were CEOs, presidents, and founders. Another 37% were VPs, EVPs, chief development officers, or senior vice presidents. This is a conference that clearly is attracting top of the house participation and attendance. And as some complain or comment about in other conferences that lean too heavily toward one particular sector, you know, whether it's food or, you know, this is a conference that right across, almost like a peanut butter spread, is represented very, very well by food, by service, and by retail non-food and food as well. But it's an interesting conglomeration of attendance, high-level executive involvement across many verticals of franchising, and yet the focus at this conference is purely about franchise development, the marketing to generate leads and quality opportunities, how to manage those once you have identified them, and how to more quickly bring those right people for the right reasons to the right brands. And every conversation that will be had, both in session and in networking, will all be focused on managing the process, managing the funnel, and building for sustainable growth with the right people as these brands that are coming through and emerging move on to legacy and sustainable growth.
Well, that's great, and that's in Atlanta next week. What are the actual dates?
The actual dates of the conference next week, Paul, are October 14, 15, and 16, and right in Buckhead, the Intercontinental Hotel. You know, 800-289-4232 is the direct dial to Franchise Update Media Group, or our listeners can log in to franchisedevelopmentconference.com to learn about the potential opportunity for a late registration and to still get themselves involved and not miss this once-in-a-year event.
Well, that's great information. Be in Atlanta next week. Be here next Wednesday. Same bat time, same bat station for Franchise Today. Stan, we're running out of time. Another great show. Thank you for being my co-host. It's just a great thing, I think, that we're doing and sharing for everybody in this great, great thing we call franchising. Until next week, Franchise Today is